greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy, and welcome right in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Got a great program going into part 11 of the Watchman on the Wall series. We just can't get away from it, it seems like. And, well, that we should give it all of the information that is to be taught on the Sabbath. Probably the world wouldn't be able to hold it, because if the whole truth had been told, we know that the world wouldn't be able to hold this great mystery, beginning with the Messiah's ministry. And now, it says in Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of the Messiah. This gospel is not a gospel from man about the person of the Messiah, but this is the gospel of the Messiah himself. His own testimony was, we read in Mark 1:21, he went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue, and it was his custom, his practice, Luke 4:16, to attend the worship on the services on the Sabbath day that Yahweh had made. Now, if he preached throughout, as we're finding that he did, he preached throughout the region, throughout Galilee, and he taught the Pharisees how to observe the Sabbath by saying, the Sabbath was made for man. Now let me give that to you again so that you can get the grist of the gestalt of Sabbath land, foundation land, in this remark again. The Sabbath was made for man. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever seriously... Oh, I got some good news. I got to tell you about this good news just right here in a minute. I just can't wait, to tell you. Praise Yahweh. Good things are happening today. And we were involved in it, praise Yahweh, where we got to go down to the Promised Land, as the Minister of Descents, he calls it the Promised Land. Well, we went there today, ladies and gentlemen, and we got the keys to the kingdom. I mean, it was so wonderful to receive the keys to the property. We have the property keys now. Everything paid for on the property. It's amazing. No wonder I'm so happy preaching about the Sabbath of rest. It's a miracle. Thanks to, again, my heart is so humbled to everyone that participated in the fundraising drive, the ones that mailed in. I've got so many people to thank and to appreciate and to love for their concern, wanting us, the people of Yahweh, to have a debt-free place called the Promised Land, the King's Gate Inn. Now, when we talk about the King's Gate Inn, got a letter from a sister down in Birmingham, Alabama, a good friend of mine I've known for many years, and she's coming up to Tabernacle with us, and she wanted to know about why the King's Gate Inn. Well, there wasn't no room in the inn for the king. This time, when the king's people drop by, because if he's in you and you're in him, then whatever we do to you, we do to him. Whatever we do with you, we do with him. And inasmuch as you did it to the least of my little ones. And so we got also good news. A brother from Maine made it in today, praise Yahweh. And it was just so good to see old friends and acquaintances. And Miss Martha wrote us a letter and said that she was coming in to the Promised Land, the King's Gate Inn. That's what we call it, the King's Gate Inn. Now, we have the keys to the gate. Praise Yahweh. And today, we put of a key in the lock and forever opened it to Yahweh's people. Now, for you that send in tithes and special offerings, we got people that tithe to us every month to help us stay on the radio and pay our radio bills and live and preach and study and pray. And I've spent the last 2 months moving, preparing to move and purchasing property. And a few of our brothers and sisters have joined in, and we just created a paradise, a place right here at Sweetwater, Tennessee. Oh, man. It's my wife's sister, Thelma, said today, she said, "Buddy, there's just something about Sweetwater area that draws people." I said, "Of course. They're coming to the King's Gate Inn. And it's wonderful. You just feel the peace." This is the truth. I was telling Brother Odell about this when we were talking the other day. And one of the brothers that actually volunteered to help me move. Now, he don't know anything about this plan of salvation. He was inquiring. But I'm telling you, he is tattooed from the top of his head almost to the bottom of his feet. I never seen such a mess in my life. But he's a wonderful man. He's just full of love. And it's sort of surprised if you see him off at a distance, you think he runs with Hell's Angels, but he don't. But he got all these tattoos, and he told me he regretted getting them. And folks, let me say, please don't mark your bodies up and regret it for the rest of your life. What do you think about having to face Yahweh with that body where he said for you not to make any markings on it? And anyway, when he got to the property and we were working there, and nobody encouraged him to say this. This was prompted by the Holy Spirit. He noticed this. He just stopped and started looking around, and he said, "Man, it's awful peaceful here." And I said, "Oh, you noticed?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "It's real peaceful." He said, "I like it here." So, and people that, even sinners, can pick up the peace or the shalom of Yahweh. Did you know that Yahweh said when you go to a place and you enter there, he said to salute it. And he said, "If my peace is there, there remain. If not, leave." And everybody that's come to this property has talked about how peaceful it seems to be. And I hope and trust that the vibrations of peace and joy remains there. And it will, as long as you keep a good spirit and you come and you participate in the Festival of Tabernacles. We're looking forward to it, of having a tabernacles where we can put the bean pots on and build the fires. And we've got people coming from all over. Like I said, praise Yahweh, we know that the times, economic times, are hard. We got people possibly going to be flying in from California, coming from Maine, already got here from Maine. It's over 1,000 miles where the brother who traveled today got in here this afternoon, and praise Yahweh. And so people are now, we got Brother Bob is in Jackson, Tennessee area tonight, recording the message off of EdCast, one of our favorite ways to record. And he's there getting this for the recording process. And he's on his way from Arkansas. He'll be here tomorrow sometime at the property, the King's Gate Inn. And we invite you to come. Make preparations. If you can only stay a couple of days, fine. Praise Yahweh. Come and visit with us. Howdy and shake. And a special salute going out tonight over the radio to all of you all that sent letters and offerings and special offerings for the property. And it's so wonderful, like I say. Now, question. Getting back to the message. I felt so good at getting the keys today, I just didn't know what to do with myself. And I just praised Yahweh. That's all I knew how to do. I said, thank you for, you know, he said, I've got the keys to the kingdom. And here we have a keys to the property. Nobody tells us when to go and come. We don't have any bosses. We don't owe any creditors. Or we're not in debt to anyone. The whole property, ladies and gentlemen, everything on the property is paid for. And praise Yahweh. It's thank you once again for making it. Now, how did Yahweh, question, how did Yahweh, being what we would call the Lord of the Sabbath, as it says in Mark 2:27 and 28 that I visited a couple of programs ago and told you about, that he is the King of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is one of those things that was made or created. Now, therefore, it was Yahweh who made the Sabbath. Now, my question is, how did he make the Sabbath? Well, it's a most pertinent question. Here's the answer. He made it without work. He didn't have to work to make the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath by resting. Now, are you with me? He made the Sabbath by resting. You make the Sabbath by rest. When you rest on Yahweh's Sabbath day, when you worship as it was his custom of Luke 4:16, where he entered the synagogue and he read, he stood up and read out of the Bible. One of my favorite things is when people come to the festival, someone will just read a chapter and people sit and listen to it. Or someone will expound on a certain thought. So then, notice this. It was made for who? The Sabbath was made for man by resting. It's an intermission. It was created and it was instituted through the creation week. Now, I'm going to show you something now. If you look at when it occurred, in verse 31 of Genesis chapter 1, it says it was the sixth day of the creation week. Sixth day now. Now remember, he worked 6 days. And then what did he do? Okay, notice. If man came into existence on the sixth day, probably, let's say, in the late afternoon, at the end of the day, the sixth day, now it could have been 1,000 years, and I believe it was. What does the Bible say on the seventh day Yahweh ceased to create? Did he stop then? After he created the heavens and earth in 6 days, did he stop? Absolutely not. On the seventh day, Yahweh ended what? Not the act of creating. He ended his work which he had made. This is a good point by one of the brothers that made this point, and I thought it was an excellent point that Yahweh did not stop creating. No, not at all. He ended his work which he had made. Just the work. He worked 6 days and he ended his work. There was a cessation. There was an appointment. And so then, he blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which he had created and made in Genesis 2 and 2 through 3. In fact, a full 7 days of creation existed not six. Now, I'm going to tell you something here, ladies and gentlemen. It requires for you to consider that the work that he had made had to have a seven-day cycle. Now, if you count the new moon cycle in the work, then you have what is called a day of, if you will, donations, a day of spending a preparation time. You have to work 6 days before you can keep a Sabbath. It had to be a beginning, a creation. Notice this. In other words, that which was created by work was connected with the work of creation. In other words, he had created by work, and on the seventh day, he created the seventh day by resting. He created the seventh day by resting. Now, isn't that wonderful? Created the seventh day by resting, ladies and gentlemen. Now, isn't that something? It's so wonderful to know that Yahweh had this in mind when he made the Sabbath for you. Now, when the Messiah came here, he observed his rest day. Now, he rested by devoting his time to spiritual performance. Winning souls is part of the process. Now, let's say you had to walk over to, you know, to across the hill or across the sand dunes, and walking was probably the mode of most travel. Very few people could afford a donkey. And if you had a camel, you were really super rich, I guess. Just like today, not many people drive your Rolls Royces. They are elite. You only see the rich elite driving those things because they're so expensive. Yahweh rested. He created a day specifically for resting. He created the Sabbath again by resting. Now, can you create something by resting? Yes, you can. You know what it is? Obedience. Do this in remembrance of me. Man, I'm telling you, I was down at the Promised Land today, and I was just so thankful. Here it is with a set of keys that unlocked the entrance gate. And we came into the property for the first time with keys that were paid for by people that rested. They took time out to rest and sit down and write a check or to make out a money order or to send cash to create a place of rest. Just like the tattooed brother, just a sinner. Didn't claim to be anything. He said, I know I'm not nothing. He said, I've been a sinner all my life. But he said, I do respect the Creator. Ladies and gentlemen, do you respect Him enough to say, I feel that rest and recognize what it's for and when it was made and to whom it belongs? It belongs to man. Yahweh Himself, becoming a man, created the Sabbath specifically by resting. Now, notice this. I don't know whether you know this or not, but there wasn't a man to till the ground. Are you with me? When he rested, there was not a man to till the ground. Now, isn't that incredible? Not anyone to till the ground. Well, what did he do? Now, do you think he created a man on the rest day? No, he created a day for man before he created man. Now, are you with me now? Now, the man that we talk about in Genesis 1:26 is not this man that is walking here that Yahweh created specifically and specially for a purpose. It was after he rested. Now that would have to be the eighth day, wouldn't it? Are you with me? The eighth day. Yahweh went back to work on what day? We know he rested on the sixth day. He rested on the seventh day. But if we count from the new moon, it would have been the eighth day. There's your man that he... What did he make him out of? The dust of the earth. So now we have a man after a rest. He rested. And then the eighth day, which is the real Sabbath day, he produced the image, or the clay mold, if you will, out of the image that he made on Genesis 1:26. And therefore, he has a man that on the eighth day. And that's why the eighth day is in the Sabbath line, the sequence. It is in the Sabbath that man rested. Praise Yahweh. The Sabbath. Yahweh is precious. But think about this. The Sabbath was made for you and me. It was made for the Messiah. He designed the Sabbath. Actually, he designed it for himself. Now, why did he do this? Was he exhausted from all of his efforts? Was he so tired that he was forced to stop and rest? Absolutely not, for Yahweh fainteth not, neither is weary, Isaiah 40:28. Now, realize that this was a real rest. And he said, take heed, lest any of you have an unbelieving heart fail to enter into it. If you don't get this Sabbath day right, in the lunar application, day one would be the beginning of the new moon. That's day one. Now, that is not a Sabbath. But it is a day to donate. It was to be honored and to be observed. Now, why, if it's a new moon, would we call it a mid-full moon? Some people say that the middle of the month is the new moon. And that's not. It is a dark moon that cannot be seen, and that's where he created from, out of darkness. He spoke the word in darkness. And what happened? Light. First day. Then in 6 days, he had man, not in a physical form, but in a imaged form. He made him a spirit man. This man did not originate upon the earth until the eighth day. Now, one new moon works 6 days, and what do you got? Well, we know 1 + 6 = 7. You understand what I'm talking about? The point of count to reference. Now, there is no darkness in Yahweh. But out of darkness, he brought forth light. Out of creation of work, he produced a day of rest. And he sanctified it. He blessed it. And what does sanctify mean? Now, if you go to a dictionary, you'll find that it means set apart for holy use or purpose. Yahweh set this day apart from all the other days. Now that we're a set apart people, we're the eighth day people. We're not the seventh day people. We're the eighth day. Eight is a new beginning. And so then we have a renewal complex built upon the foundation of the monthly, not the weekly calendar that was invented not by Yahweh, but by man. You see that? These calendars that have changed Yahweh's times, and I gave you the illustration of the eighth day, he wanted you to bring the offering, the dedications to him. Now we're going to dedicate the property on the full moon and the full Shekinah. When people gather on the night of the 21st, just a few days from now, we will be gathering on the night of the 21st. It'll be our first night to begin the day in recognition and dedication. We're going to sanctify. We're going to spend time sanctifying the property. We may ask you to take some salt water and rose oil and go to the corners of the property and stand there and blow the trumpet in the full moon. We blow the trumpet in the full moon. We don't have any problem with that. We blow it on the feast days. We don't have any problem with that. We don't have any problem lighting a fire. We don't have any problem using salt to sanctify, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5. We are sons of light. We love Yahweh. And we're in His rest. Now listen to this. If you go another step, He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, and it means set apart. So there is a people willing to come and be set apart. A part of. We're the only ones that I know of that are keeping the lunar festival in this time frame. And that would be the lunar and keeping people that are on the correct calendar. We have so many errors and misunderstandings because if you look how that Yahweh created the world during the original 6 days, He rested on the seventh. Everyone thinks that Yahweh refrained from His creative activities on Shabbat. He did not introduce anything new into the world, but He did create something on the Sabbath. Now, the people of the Talmud, that I don't put much stock in, but anyway, they indicate that something new certainly was introduced into the fabric of the world with the advent of the Sabbath. What was that something new when He introduced the Sabbath? It was an element of preeminent that He would make it a day set aside for set apart people, a special people, that would be few that would find this way in this unstable, corrupt world where they have changed times and laws. It's he got the preeminence of the day. This is a special day. On the eighth day of the lunar application, beginning your count from the first workday. You don't begin it from the new moon. You wait for the moon to change. Why did they say, when will the new moon be gone? They were waiting patiently, some apprehensive and not so patient. But the Bible said, in your patience you possess your soul. Yahweh's creation was a creation of rest. And He created it by resting. This is certainly, to me, incredible that the answer, which is indeed about the Sabbath having the capacity to bring the world to its sense of preeminence, to lock it into place in your thought process of what day it is. Learn the lunar count. It's the refraining from work. he rested, and when he stopped his work, he created the rest day. Now, if he was not to do any work, according to Numbers 29:1, of anything on the new moon, what was that for? Well, if he created man for the Sabbath, then it would apply as we are being told, but he created the Sabbath for man, as we know. So the Sabbath is a special day. The new moon is a day to blow the shofar. A day to wait. You can't buy nor sell. It doesn't have any restrictions as a Sabbath or a rest day. You can go and raise up the tabernacle that we've demonstrated to you in many times in accounts where they worked on the new moon, but they did not work for servile gain. This was a day of charity. Sometimes they had to wait. When will the new moon be gone that we can buy and sell? They couldn't buy and sell legally on Yahweh's master plan. They had to work 6 days before they could keep a Sabbath, and they rested on the Sabbath. That would have been the eighth day. You see what I'm talking about? It's a holy Sabbath day. 1, 8, 15, and 22 is the master numbers. 8 being the Sabbath, 1 being the new moon. Wait for the new moon to change. Wait for it to bring its first crescent light. When you see first crescent light, you work. It's that simple. And when you work 6 consecutive days, then you'll come up on what is known as the eighth day. Because remember, day 1 was a non-working day, but you could work for Yahweh. You could come and do charity work for him around the temple. But it was different because on the seventh day, which would be 8 days in the count, and why this is so confusing to anybody, I don't know. It's Yahweh's count system. Yahweh is so wonderful in his count system that he's taken the wise in their craftiness. The word Sabbath is a feminine form word. The root of Sabbath has nothing to do with resting in the sense of enjoying or repose or in forms and application. It means to sever, to put an end. It means to desist, to come to an end. It's the divider. It indicates that the Sabbath is the dividing the month. It certainly cannot be translated the day of rest. Adam, was he a eighth-day man? And the answer is a resounding yes. And Yahweh, he hallowed the seventh day. What appeared after the rest? Adam. When was he created? On the rest day. So Adam, in me you shall have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Adam, ever since he's turned or failed, and the Bible said the transgression of the law brings about, you reap what you sow. I know, myself, I would be in perfect health had I not sinned and come short. Probably you would be in perfect health if you hadn't sinned and come short. But we were altogether born in sin. That means that everything that dropped from the womb of a woman, a man that's born of a woman a few days and full of trouble, from the very inception of the world, from the dawn's history, there has never been even one Sabbath which was not kept to the extent of the angels or Yahweh recognizing that's the day he rested. It means to cease. The world has never been without these righteous pillars and the Sabbath observers, and every generation has, to at least some degree, each Sabbath observed by a remnant. Somebody has been teaching this from the word go. Now, the main body from the beginning of time, Adam, he was considered a righteous man who kept the Sabbath according to Bereshit. He is also credited with the authorship of Psalms 92, a song for the Sabbath day. After Adam, the Sabbath was observed by his offspring, Seth, beginning with Seth, whom Yahweh considered to be a righteous man also. And he was followed in turn by Methuselah, and then by Noah. Lunar, solar, calendar foundations of the Hebrew calendar extend from the earliest verses of Scripture, natural, uniform motions of the heavenly spheres are the pivotal markers of time reckoning. The list of ancient characters mentioned in the old parchment used this lunar solar calendar system of time recording, and the observation of lunar phases coupled with solar positioning gradually graduated or marked the lifetime ages of Adam and his descendants down through the ages. We left off after Israel went a-whoring, forgot his Sabbath, forgot his rest, forgot the reasoning. It's the eighth-day man, ladies and gentlemen. You say, well, there's no such thing as an eighth-day man, Pastor Buddy. You'd have to say then that there was a Monday morning man, if you believe in a Sunday morning man. That's the first day of the week with the Gregorian calendar. It wouldn't have been a Saturday man. You see what I'm talking about? There was no such thing as a Saturday man. There was not a man on Saturday to till the ground. Get with the program here. In the Encyclopedia Biblical, 1899 edition, it is stated that the stars serve to mark divisions of time. They are set in the firmament to divide the day from the night, and to be for signs, for moads, for signs and festivals and appointed times, and for days and years. The Hebrew month is a lunar month, and the quarter of this period, one phase of the moon, appears to have determined the week of 7 days. The Macmillan Company, page 4780, appears. History is repeat with facts regulating the Sabbath through the lunar, not through Saturday and Sunday. These people that have done this have changed times and laws. Ancient reckoning and recording affirmed the most basic procedures according to cycles of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and each one of these has a regulation synchronicity attached to, like the tumblers on a safe to open when you get it right. And you'll never open his rest until your understanding has gone through the basic time reckoning and including the ingredients for lunar, solar, and calendars, where Eve represented the feminine side of human order according to the lunar observation, and Adam represented the masculine solar side according to the solar positioning on the horizon of the stars as they move through the bodies and the heavens in synchronicity. And so you have the yin and the yang, or you have the positive and the negative. You have the in and the out, the up and the down. These are the dualism in the lunar solar calendar, with the stars determining the factor of the ages as one precession of the equinox turns into the other. Now, we know that the Messiah came in the age of Pisces, the fisherman age. We know now that we're due to leave the Piscean age any time as it's merging into what is called the Aquarian age. Now, in Luke 22:10, we have the evidence that Yahweh was setting the positions of the sun through the seasoning and the clarification of his resting day, defining by the movement of the heavens and the phases of the lunar, which was a natural nature calendar placed in the heavens where man could not corrupt, where he could not change, and forever the word of Yahweh in its rest period where he created something. He wasn't working when he created the Sabbath day. You see that? So as long as you're working outside the Sabbath, you can't get in. That's what he said, take heed, lest any of you have an unbelieving heart fail to enter in to his rest. That means when you phase the synchronicities of the lunar to the eighth day, the rest day that Adam rested on, where Yahweh created Adam in his image. Yahweh is the image of Adam. Adam is the image of Yahweh. And in his image, he produced him not. On the seventh day, which would be Saturday in the reckoning of the Jewish calendar, or what we call the Gregorian calendar, he wasn't produced in that day. He was produced on the eighth day. Or if you're keeping the calendar of the present day, you would say that he had been created on Sunday. You understand what I'm talking about? So the transition from the lunar phase moving over to the phases of the most revered unit of time measurement known to man is the Sabbath day, holy, consecrated for all time in the heavens, has a phase opening first with the new moon. In Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 1, and I've said it so many times, and then in the failure to heed it is repeated so many times in Isaiah 66, verse 23. If you really want to see what's going to happen to you, if you fail to get in this rest system of the lunar, you're going to have gate trouble. Now, what I mean by that is, the people that kept the gate, the time, these are the angels of heaven, the seven angels, where they opened the gate on the new moon. You may not like that. That may throw a sprag in your wheel. But it's true that the memorial time of the shofar, blow it in a new moon. Blow it in a new moon. Now that means that they knew by looking in the heavens, by noting that tomorrow would be a new moon. And they said, well, David's going to be missed at the king's table because it was his custom, because it was a new moon, a holiday, if you will, a day for them to come to the house of Yahweh and to bring the things that Yahweh needed. This was a time to work for him. No servile work. You couldn't do any of that. You couldn't do for gain. He wouldn't let you go out and buy and sell and trade. make money. That was a day for Yahweh, the new moon. Well, they said, well, gosh, when's it going to be gone? We're losing money here. They couldn't trust Yahweh to provide the blessings that He promised them. If they would love Him and keep His commandment, He would have made life so much easier, and they wouldn't even have to fret. Fear not. You're greater than a sparrow. No sparrow would starve to death. No sparrow would hit the ground without him knowing it. They don't have to labor and toil for their feed. It's already there in the rest factor. If you just turn it over to Yahweh and believe Him and rest in your understanding, having these times, as it says in Genesis 6 and 9, Noah was a just and a perfect man. Now, I done told you that Noah was born on a new moon. It's noted that he was a special child. It just so happens to be that the noting of the new moon would have always been a time period for Noah, who rested in the time frame of the proper rest that Adam rested in, Adam being an eighth day man. You'd have to acknowledge he's not a seventh day man. Adam is an eighth day man, created out of nothing but rest. No wonder that this doctrine will give you understanding and rest, and it's the principal key factor. Just like I got the keys today at Hallelujah Acres or the Promised Land. It was something that Yahweh gave us, and now that we don't owe anything on it, your offerings and tithes paid for it completely. We all contributed. Well, a few people giving quite a bit, or a lot of people giving a little, and that's basically how it was. I mean, it was, we just kept asking for offerings. We got up to $148,000 to purchase the property. We got that. We needed the closing money. We got that. We asked for it, and you delivered. And now it's a rest. We've ceased from our labor. We've raised the funds. Now we're free. We don't owe anything on the property. Everything there is paid for. Everything. Except the yearly taxes, which are very little. They're only like $80 to $100 a year. We live in the cheapest county, in one of the cheapest counties anyway, in the United States. McMinn County. It's a county that owes nothing to the government. It's the only debt-free county in the United States, and one of the few in the United States. It's the only county in Tennessee, is what I'm trying to say, that's debt-free. No wonder we feel peace in Sweetwater, Tennessee. Or in the area. We're not in Sweetwater, Tennessee, but we're in the area. You need to call us for directions if you want to come to the feast. We'll give you directions if you call. It's necessary for you to call and get directions to the feast site. It's close to Sweetwater, Tennessee. But it's not in Sweetwater, Tennessee. We're not trying to play games with you. We just want you to call us and to get directions. We like to howdy and shake with you and see who you are and where you're coming from and things of this nature. We don't want to keep tabs on you. That's not what the intention is. It's just to see if you're an eighth-day man, see if you're a rest man, or see if you are one of those people that are not. Turn it over to Yahweh. Trust in Him. Bless His holy name. Blow the shofar in the full moon or in the new moon or in the phases. We blow them in the quarters. We blow the new moon. We blow the quarter moon. we blow the full, we blow the third quarter, we blow the trumpet in Zion, the trumpet in the promised land. Praise Yahweh. The King's Gate Inn. Call us for directions tonight. We love you. We appreciate you. We are so thrilled to be with you tonight and tell you that the Sabbath is a created day out of nothing. Created it out of nothing. By doing nothing, He created the Sabbath. By resting. All He done was rest. That day is a day to remember. And the day that He created it on is very important. The day He created Adam on is very important. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't on the seventh day. Adam was not made out of nothing. I guess you would say nothing. I mean, did He have him on His mind on the seventh day? When Adam came forth out of the ground? Because there was not a man to till the ground? Because He made him on the sixth day? Man was made on the sixth day. And yet, when He rested, there was not a man to till the ground. You think about that now. There's something that you need to know about that, that maybe has escaped your attention, that could turn a light on or be a key like we got today at the King's Gate Inn. We got the keys to the property and we went in. We opened the gate and went in. Now we're going to have a special dedication of that property. If you've got anything you'd like to bring and donate to the property, make sure it's first class stuff. Yahweh don't want a bunch of junk laying around. He ain't going to have none of that. Adam wasn't a bunch of junk. He was created for the purpose of serving Yahweh. He's a unique individual. He doesn't run with a herd. He's not like the world. He's a special functioned person that was made not on the seventh day. You can bet your bottom dollar that Adam was created not on the seventh day. It don't say it was created on the seventh day. He was created on the eighth day. Now the eighth day just happens to be the weekly Sabbath. Because if you use day one, then you've got the process of the calendar that Ezekiel used, the calendar that Isaiah used, the calendar that the Messiah used, and the knowledge of the Sabbath was brought through the flood by Noah and his family. And when Noah's children and their descendants spread out into the areas that later became known as Babylonia, the knowledge of the Sabbath went with them. And as a result, we find a Sabbatum in the ancient records of Assyria and Babylonia, where certain activities were prohibited on the days that we note, 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29. It's wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, to know that we have entered into His rest. I got to get off here. My time is coming gone. And you can believe I love you, and I long for you to see you on the King's Gate Inn property. Call for directions. We'd be glad to send it to you, like I say. And Yahweh bless you, and Yahweh keep you, and Yahweh cause His face to shine upon you, and Yahweh prosper you. And may His blessings of eternal Shabbat, the rest, may it bless you and keep you and sanctify you forever. I love you. I'll see ya. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night around the world, sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey of the great state of Mississippi, brought this exclusively to you because they love the Sabbath. They love to lift up the holy hands in rest and peace, and enjoy the times where Yahweh made it for you to be a rest. I'll see you. Yahweh bless you.
Don't want anything down here holding on to me. When you say you'll ride with me, can you see that number no man can number, riding alongside you? But he's calling out to us right now, saying, will you ride with me? And we say, yeah.